Simon, what is the name of your insert chair?
I hold an insert chair in forest land reclamation, and that chair deals with the reforestation or afforestation of areas which were disturbed by surface mining.
You finished up the first 5 years, and I understand that the chair itself has been renewed.
Yes, it was very nice. My industry partners and I got together and we submitted another proposal to NSERC, which is the National Council or the federal government supporting research. And we submitted a proposal and we were successful in renewing this chair for another 5 years.
Well, that must mean that the industry is looking upon this and the work that you're doing and your students are doing as being very helpful to them.
Yeah, I think so. I hope that is the reason why they supported it. And no, I have very good working relationships with the people who deal operationally with the reclamation of these areas. And we would like to continue our good relationship and further the knowledge and information on forest land reclamation in these areas.
Well, let's have just a little recap of what you've accomplished through the last 5 years.
Yes, the last 5 years were very, very busy. I had a lot of grad students and we had a lot of projects dealing with especially the initiation of forest establishment. So looking at the planting of seedlings and what type of seedlings and what quality of seedlings we're planting. So a lot of research went in this area. And I think we made a lot of progress in developing characteristics, particularly in aspen seedlings, which make them a better plant to put out on these harsh reclamation sites, which is really tough for a plant to grow in. And so we have to give the plant the best abilities to actually succeed in establishing on these sites.
How do you make a tree better?
Well, it's almost like going on a trip. You got to make sure you have everything in your suitcase. And for plants to have in their suitcase, they need to have nutrients, they need to have carbohydrates, so food, in order to function on a site where they don't get all the resources right away because they don't have a big root system yet, they don't have many leaves. So they use whatever they have in their tissues to start growing and to start developing new tissues and hopefully succeed.
Well, it must be incredibly challenging for these little seedlings because they're up in northeastern Alberta in the oil sands area, and the environmental challenges, what would be some of those?
Yeah, it's not only the oil sands. Any mine site where all the original vegetation has been removed and the soils have been turned upside down and need to be reestablished, it's a tough life. It's kind of as if you would plant something in the middle of a farmer's field so that the plant is exposed to the whole environment of wind and rain and cold and abrasion from snow and all these kind of things. So it's a tough life out there on these open areas.
Now, what is it that you're going to focus on with the next 5 years?
Well, we're going to focus on continuing some of the seedlings work. There's still some open questions about how we can make seedlings very specifically better for specific site conditions. For example, we are looking at growing seedlings which are much taller than the normal seedlings, so they can potentially outcompete grass competition and things like that on older reclamation sites where grasses and so on have already taken hold of the site. And so we still want to establish trees on them because the overall goal is to establish forests, and without trees we have no forest. So we have to get the trees on the site. So again, we are giving the tree a chance by being taller, having maybe bigger root systems, having more reserves and so on to compete with the grasses at a level where the grasses might actually lose out in the long run and the trees can actually start dominating the system. So that would be one area where we are dealing with the establishment of trees on sites. A second area is to create soil conditions on the sites which are more favorable for our trees to establish. One of the biggest problems is in some areas we have really poor soil conditions. So how can we get nutrients and other variables to our seedlings without actually giving it away to all kinds of competing vegetation we don't want, like introduced weeds and things like that? So what we are trying to do is we are trying to set up sites with different operational procedures to kind of hide the nutrients and hide some of the goodies from the plants we don't want to grow there and to give it to the plants which we want to have there. So we are playing around with some operational scale field trials where we change amendments and things like that on these sites.
Can you explain that a bit more as to exactly how you would do that?
Well, I don't want to really let the cat out of the bag yet because this is stuff we are just setting up. And like most things, these are ideas. But the important thing is that we have to be able to get the resources to our target plants, which in this case are seedlings, and not to our competing plants we don't want on these sites, which are often introduced weeds and noxious weeds, which shouldn't be on the site regardless. And so we have to find a way of giving the trees the upper hand on the fight for resources, which happens in every ecosystem.
Are you doing any of your work with the engineered landscapes that, for example, Syncrude is building?
Oh, yeah. We are heavily involved in some of the wetland, the Sandhill Fen or Sandhill Watershed, which was set up about 3 years ago. We are working heavily on the upland portion of that project. We have been monitoring vegetation and monitoring our trees for the last 3 years. And we are looking at some of the site variables like slope and aspect and composition of our tree species we are planting, how it affects the understory vegetation development. Of course, we don't want no vegetation around our trees. We just want to have the correct vegetation around our trees, which are forest understory species. So we are trying to see how canopy development of our trees influences what is going to grow underneath our trees down the road in the near future. So these are long-term projects. It's not going to be decided in the next year or two where we can definitely say this is where it's going, but we can at least make some assumption on trajectories of where we hope these stands are going to go.
Well, do you have any indication at this point what the sustainability of these new forests is going to be?
Oh, that is a tough question. Sustainability is depending on so many variables, which we might or might not have even a handle on, like climate change. We do not know what the climate is going to be in the next 10, 20, 50, 100 years, and whether the forests we are setting up will be the right forest for these sites. But right now, the best thing we know is to put forests back which are similar in function and composition to forests we already have in the region, and we hope that there is enough resiliency and variability in these forests that they can deal with those anticipated changes.
With these risks then, what do you perceive as being some of the knowledge gaps or the research that still needs to be done?
Well, there's still a lot of research that needs to be done, and it's more or less on a larger scale. We need to link our landscapes, which we are building on these sites. We are rebuilding landscapes. We need to link the hydrology with the landscape features, with the plants, and then with our overall vegetation and how the whole landscape is going to look like. So it's large-scale landscape work that needs to link those things. And in order to do so, we need to do work on all kinds of different scales. And, you know, my scale is mostly on a tree, maybe to a forest scale, but not really at the landscape. But in order to know, for example, how much water is being used by our forests and will be used in the future, we need to do very specific work on, for example, where are the roots, how deep do they go, how much water do plants or certain trees use, how much leaf area they have, and those kind of relationships are crucial for us to make prediction on how well these forests are going to grow and how productive they're going to be, or whether they continue to exist there in the future.
The work that you and your students have done over the past few years, is any of it being applied at this point?
Yeah, some of it is applied, especially the work related to the quality of seedlings. We have worked closely with nurseries and so on to bring forward the characteristics we found out are important for aspen seedlings. We found out what the characteristics are, and we transferred that knowledge to the nurseries to enhance these characteristics in the nursery production. So there's been millions of seedlings now, or at least 1 million seedlings being grown under new regimes, which allow to enhance these characteristics in aspen seedlings. And it should lead to better quality seedlings being deployed in reclamation areas.
So what have you got your students lined up to do?
The students are lined up to do all kinds of different things. We're working at different scales. So some of the research, as I mentioned, deals still with seedling quality, but some other research is dealing with environmental factors like soil moisture, soil nutrients, soil temperature effects on these seedlings and how they grow. For example, some of the cover soils that are being used are either poor in nutrition or even insulating the soil heavily so that the conditions are very cold in the spring and don't warm up very quickly, which has an effect on plant performance and growth. And so we are exploring some of those. Then, of course, we have those larger scale studies like the Sandhill Fen and so on, where we look at vegetation development over time and forest trajectory in the next 5 or 10 or so years.
Thank you very much, Simon.
Thank you. And it was great to talk to you again. And I'm looking forward to maybe a future interview again.